Morning. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and went away to follow him. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this morning and for waking us up in time to come to morning prayer and just to spend a bit of time with you, and help us to just hear from you and to feel your presence. And we want to fall deeper in love with you, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this passage, Jesus is walking along and he sees these four guys, Simon, who is later called Peter, and Andrew, Simon's brother, and James and John, both sons of Zebedee. And he calls them. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," and they come and follow. So as I was reading this passage yesterday, my first question was, why these four guys? Why just these four? Simon, Andrew, James, and John. If you read the passage, there are a few other characters just in that short passage. There's Zebedee, who is James and John's father. And then there are the hired servants who are also in the boat, you know? It wasn't just Simon, Andrew, James, and John that Jesus came across. Presumably, he's going by the Sea of Galilee, so there were probably other fishermen out there. You know, other fishermen are out there, and he's walking by, but at least recorded is he only calls Simon and Andrew to come. And then James and John, and there's Zebedee's left behind, hired servants are left behind, and any other fishermen that were there. So I was just thinking about it, meditating upon and asking the question. Probably a little bit of that comes from my own brokenness, because I sometimes go, what if I'm not the one chosen, you know? Like, what makes these guys special? That they're chosen, and does God play favorites? I have all these questions in my mind, but what made these guys so special? Did they have more potential than the other characters in this little passage? Was it something that they did? We know from the rest of the Gospels that these guys were not that great. You know, these guys didn't necessarily have greater insight or greater courage or faith. You know, they made a lot of mistakes. They needed a lot of correction. They were selfish, and they wanted to become great. They were arguing with each other, and, you know, they lacked a lot of understanding. So how come these guys get called, and the others are left behind? So I was thinking about it, meditating about it, and one thing that stood out to me later on as I was thinking about it more is that these guys, they responded to the call, right? Jesus makes the call, come and follow me, and they respond to the call by leaving behind their old lives. They left to follow Jesus, you know? They responded to the call. One thing that we do not know is whether or not Jesus called other guys, you know? It doesn't record it, so we don't know. I mean, we can't just assume that it was only these guys that he called. Maybe he called others to follow as well, but they didn't respond to the call. Or maybe he only called these guys because he knew that they would be the ones that would respond and actually leave behind to follow Jesus. I don't know. But anyway, what we can learn from them is that they responded to the call. And I think by reading and studying their response to the call of Jesus, it kind of teaches us what it means for us to follow him as well. You know, what does it take for us to follow Jesus? Or what does it mean for us to follow Jesus? So what are the things that these guys left behind? And I want to talk about just three things. Number one, they left their comfort. So I have three C words. Praise God. God gave me these C words. So number one, they left their comfort. They left their home, right? They left behind what they knew, what they were comfortable with. They left their families behind. They left the comforts of their boat, what they knew, probably all along their lives. You know, these guys are not like the 21st century where they leave a job and go to a different industry. They probably grew up with their fathers, you know, with their fathers going to the sea and fishing, and they probably spent a lot of time on those boats, and they knew it really, really well, but they left that behind. And you know, there is that saying, there is no place like home, right? I went camping with our youth group kids just maybe 2 weeks ago, and it was so uncomfortable. Oh my goodness. We went to Sai Kung, this place called Ham Tin Wan, and it's this beach. You have to hike like 40 minutes to get there. It takes about 2 hours from Central to get to this place. And when we were there, it's so dirty. The bathrooms are filthy, you know? Just, I mean, it was a great experience. It did bond the group together, but all of us were so uncomfortable. We were like, I don't know if we want to come back, as great as it was. But, you know, coming back from that, obviously, the comfort of your home. But not even that. I mean, somebody goes to a nice holiday and stays at a hotel and great, fantastic, but you still say, man, there's no place like home, because there's something about being home, being with what you're familiar with that brings you comfort. But these guys, they left behind their comfort to follow Jesus. They entered into something very, very uncomfortable, both physically and emotionally, right? Physically, we know Jesus says the Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. So they were probably walking around everywhere. They didn't have one place they always went back to for sleeping or for resting. They were outside. Maybe they slept in someone else's house, depending on where they were. Maybe they slept outside. We don't really know where they slept. You know, we know that they visited different houses. So it was uncomfortable physically, but also emotionally. They were doing something very new to them. You know, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't have the stability of, you know, knowing that they belonged in one place. So they left that behind and into something very uncomfortable. And I think Jesus calls us to that as well. When he calls us to follow him, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? It means we're willing to enter into the uncomfortable, you know, to leave our comfort zone behind. And, you know, he may not be calling us to become missionaries necessarily. He may not necessarily call us to leave this place and go somewhere, but it does mean that every day there's something that Jesus might call us to do that's very uncomfortable. Maybe it's talking to a colleague about Jesus Christ, or maybe praying for somebody that you don't know and it's very uncomfortable, you're not sure, but Jesus, that might be the very thing that he's calling us to do, you know? Step out into something uncomfortable and do something by faith. So that's the first thing. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means we leave our comforts behind. Number two, they left their competence. They left their competence. They left behind what they knew really, really well. They left behind their jobs. And these guys, again, they were probably really good at fishing. You know, they were fishermen probably for their entire lives, growing up fishing with their father, and that was their livelihood. They knew how to fish. They knew what they were doing. But they left this behind. And I think this is very profound because usually for us, what we are good at is what defines us, you know? We draw our identity from our competence and we find that, oh, I'm good at this thing, and we kind of hold on to it like, yeah, this is what I'm good at, and that eventually becomes something that we draw our identity from, our value from, our sense of worth comes from that. It defines us, you know, our competence defines us. But for these guys, they left that behind. You know, they left behind what they... Yeah, I mean, they could count on fishing. You know, they knew how to do it well. And again, that was something that they were comfortable with. And maybe that was something that kind of they drew their identity from. But when Jesus called them, they were willing to leave that behind and enter into something completely new. And this, it puzzles me. And I think this is why I need to spend more time. We need to spend more time meditating upon this. But, you know, because sometimes we always say God will take what you're already good at and he will use it for your glory. And that's true, I think. But in this case, I mean, God called them to leave what they were good at, that enter into something totally new and something totally different because maybe that's what God wanted from them. So maybe it's not necessarily true, you know? Maybe it's not necessarily true that he will always, you know, just let you do what you're good at so that you can use that for your glory. But he'll sometimes call us to something that we're like, that's not what I'm good at, you know? God, that's not what I'm comfortable with. You know, my whole life I've been really good at doing this. But there has to be a willingness to say, you know, but I'm not going to like hold on to it. I'm not going to make that become my identity. I'm not going to draw my value or my worth from these things that I feel like I'm really good at. So, yeah, we need to think about it more. But there was a willingness to let it go. And they're willing to be defined by the fact that they were a disciple of Jesus Christ. I heard a story of this married couple, while they were dating, the wife wanted to know, so the girlfriend wanted to know who this person was. Because he was in ministry, but she felt like she didn't really know him as a person, you know? So she asked him a question. She said, hey, who are you? I just want to know who you are. And this pastor, being so holy and spiritual, he kept answering, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. What do you mean? What do you mean, who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And, I mean, that obviously left her frustrated because that was not something she was asking. She wanted to know, like, who this person was on the inside. What are you like, you know, outside of your role as a pastor? But I think, in a funny sense, I think that these guys were willing to let that be the definition of who they were. I am a disciple. No longer were they, I am a fisherman. No longer was that their identity. Because in Hong Kong, we're always defined by what we do, right? Oh, where do you work? I'm a banker, I'm a lawyer, whatever. But they were willing to say, I'm no longer a fisherman, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Whatever that means I'm leaving behind what I'm really good at. I'm leaving behind what I'm comfortable with. But I'm going to be defined by this statement that I'm a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. And then the third thing that they left behind, very simply, they left behind control, right? So we have comfort, competence, and control. They left behind control, meaning they were no longer in control of their own lives. They were no longer their own master. That's what it means to follow somebody, right? Until you're a follower of somebody, you're in control of your own life. At least, We think we are, and we want to be in control. We feel like we are our own masters, you know? We get to decide where we're going to go today. We get to decide where we're going to work, what we're going to eat, how we're going to spend our time, our money. Everything about our lives, we are in control. But what does it mean to follow Christ? It means you let go of that control and you say, Jesus, whatever you want me to do. And that's exactly what happened to these guys. As soon as they left their home and they left their boats, they no longer had control over what they were going to do with their lives. Wherever Jesus went, they went with him. Whatever Jesus did, they did with him. You know, whatever Jesus ate, they ate with him. If Jesus fasted and starved, they didn't bring it up. They were like, okay, I guess we're fasting today. If Jesus got on the boat, crossed over to the other side, I guess we're going to the other side. They followed Jesus. And I think this is probably the hardest one for us, you know, because we always want to be in control of our own lives. It's a hard one to really obey, you know, really hard one for us to really fulfill, I think, letting go of control. But if you think about the lives of the disciples, literally they let go of control, you know? Wherever Jesus went, whatever he did, they followed. And that's what he wants from us too, I think. It's just different because he's not here physically with us, so we got to spend time with him. We got to hear from Jesus what he's calling us to do. But there has to be that willingness. If we know and we get this strong sense that this is what he's calling us to do, there's got to be that willingness to let go of control, leave control of our lives behind and say, Jesus, I'm going to do what you want us to do. And in doing that, we will have to leave our comforts. We'll have to leave our competence. And that's what it means to be a disciple. And just the last thing, the good news is that, you know, Jesus has already called us, you know? Because sometimes, like I said earlier, I begin the question like, am I one of the hired servants that got left behind? Has Jesus not called me? You know, is there something less special about me or whatever? But I think the fact that we're here this morning, the fact that we call ourselves Christians, that we've put our faith in Jesus Christ, it already means that Jesus has called us, that he believes in us. He sees something in us and he says, yeah, I think you're going to be able to respond to this call. So he has called us already. So it's just a matter of us responding, you know, daily responding to this call of Jesus to follow him. So as we go into a time of worship, let's just go before Jesus, and maybe some of us need to hear that call again. For me, it's definitely the idea of control. Just thinking about how the disciples lived their lives and how they fully let go of control. Wherever Jesus went, whatever he did, they did as well. And so maybe some of you are in that place as well where you need to kind of think about that and examine your own life. Maybe it's the comfort or competence issue, having your identity in something else. So let's go before God. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for just this simple passage about the disciples, the four disciples that you called to follow, and they left behind their comfort and their competence and their control to follow you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will, speak to our hearts, God, and bring your conviction and also your encouragement and lead us closer to your heart. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for this time. Help us to repent and turn away from, you know, our own ideas about you know, what it looks like to have a good life. You know, I pray that we'll be able to just obey when you call us to do something. Like these guys, God, when you call us to follow, when you say something to us and tell us to do something, that we would just step out and respond to that call. Even if it doesn't make sense to us, God. I think, Jesus, you do that all the time, but so often we think, you know, we think and we rationalize and we reason and say, that can't be God, or that doesn't make sense. But help us to kind of just obey, God, even if it doesn't make sense to us, even if it looks like that's going to be really hard, or, you know, maybe not be the sensible thing to do, that we would be just obedient to you, Lord. So Holy Spirit, continue to work in our hearts. Thank you. Let's go to our community prayer focus. Let's just lift up our friends and their family members on this list, and let's pray for God's healing to come upon them. Let's pray for comfort for them in this time and strength to come upon them. So let's lift up our friends on the list. Community one, Pastor Sophia. Prayer, focus. Oh, it's okay. Let's pray together. The cancer and chemo and transplants, pray. Go to slide number two. Let's pray for those that are ill, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's mercy upon them, and let's pray for people in their lives that will be able to share Christ with them. And let's pray for, you know, our friends that are on the list, that God's anointing will be upon them, so that they'll be able to share Christ with the people on the list as well. So let's just lift up the people on this list. Let's pray for our friends that are going through various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing to come upon them, and for God to minister to them and give them strength. So let's pray together. to slide number 4. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for a good job. Let's pray that God will really provide for them. He will speak to them in this time. And if there are things that God wants to, you know, do in their hearts in this time, that they will be able to really open up to God and really hear from the Lord. And let's pray that God's presence will be tangibly felt with them, so that they will not lose heart in this time. So let's lift up our friend. Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for North Korea and South Korea and Japan. Let's lift up these nations, and let's lift up the missionaries that we know from these places. And also, when we're praying for South Korea, let's pray for our possible future church plans. Continue to seek the Lord and ask Him, you know, what to say. Lift up these three nations. Let's pray for God's mercy and favor upon these places. Let's pray together. Lift up our different ministries: Intercessory Prayer Ministry, The Well, and Cascade, our inner healing and physical healing ministries. Let's pray for God's protection over them. Let's pray for the different people serving on these ministries to pray for their personal lives. Pray that their hearts will be filled with joy, and that God will give them favor in their workplaces and blessing upon their families, and also just real anointing for the ministry that they do. Let's also pray for the hospitality ministries at the church, the welcoming ministry and the barista ministry, that God will be with the ministers, that they will have the love of God overflowing out of them as they say hello to people, greet people, or as they serve them coffee. And let's also pray for their personal lives as well. So let's lift up these ministries and the volunteers and the leaders of these ministries. Let's pray together. lift up the Hong Kong Korean church. Let's just pray for God's grace upon them. Pray for spiritual growth in the church and unity in the church. Let's pray that this church will be one that pleases God and obeys God and does God's work here in Hong Kong for the Korean community. Let's pray for Pastor Choi, the senior pastor. Let's pray for all the other elders and leaders of the church. So let's lift up Hong Kong. House church meeting tonight. Let's pray for Soho House Church. I think that's Ricky and Steph meeting at Vivian's place. Let's pray for an amazing time as they discuss the retreat. Pray for one another that it'll be a very fruitful time. So let's lift up this house church. God, and we want to draw closer to you, Lord. We want to be more, intimate with you. We want to fall deeper in love with you, God. So Holy Spirit, would you come and draw us to yourself. Lord, as we draw near to you, we pray that you will draw near to us. Thank you for your faithfulness and your grace and your love, and bless each person here as they go off to their workplaces, God, and throughout the rest of their day. I pray that you will be with them, and may they feel your presence, and I pray that we would be able to bring joy to your heart today in all that we do, and we love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks. God bless you guys. Have a great day, and we'll see you guys next time.